Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Everest Kanto Cylinder Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ayesha Shah from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neera. Good evening, everyone, and welcome, and thank you for joining us on Everest Kanto Cylinder Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Puneet Khurana, Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjeev Kapoor, Chief Financial Officer of the company. We'll initiate the call with the opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the presentation shared with you all earlier. I will now request Mr. Puneet Khurana to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Right. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings call. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through our results documents that provided details of our operational and financial performance for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2020. We are delighted to share that we have registered a record performance during the year, delivering a robust top-line growth of 79%, EBITDA growth of 127%, and a PAT growth of 189%. Our India business has delivered strong growth drivers by expanding CNG ecosystem that is driving circular demand. As some of you are aware, leading gas infra companies are aggressively establishing CNG pumps across the country and backed by this expansion. Auto OEMs are expanding their CNG portfolio to tap the demand from end consumers. On a standalone basis, our revenue expanded by 69% to 1,268 crores in FY22. Our overseas operations have also delivered a sustainable turnaround during the year, led by the global shift towards gas adoption. Our consolidated basis revenue stood at rupees 1,699 crores, higher by 79% in FY22. While the overseas performance during Q4 was impacted, if you look at it from a year perspective, the subsidiaries have contributed positively to our results as compared to previous years. So we believe our overseas businesses can continue to contribute positively to our performance going forward as well. Accordingly, looking at the demand from the high-potential Egypt and African market, we are happy to share EKC Hori subsidiary, EKC International, has formed a joint venture in Egypt to establish CNG cylinder production facility. With our UAE facility operating at a healthy level, we believe this facility should help us target the growing CNG opportunity due to the region's push forward the consumption of cleaner fuels. On margin front, we have witnessed volatility on QoQ basis during the year, owing to the change in product mix and increase in overall costs. It is difficult to comment on margin performance on quarterly basis. However, we anticipate our sustainable EBITDA margin shall be in the range of 20%-24% on a full-year basis. On standalone basis, FY22 EBITDA was higher by 93% to rupees 351 crores, with a margin at 28%. PAT was at 122% to rupees 228 crores. And on a consolidated basis, EBITDA stood at 392 crores, higher by 127% with a margin at 23% PAT. PAT stood at 265 crores, higher than by 189%. Over the past few years, we have notably strengthened our balance sheet as well as prudently deployed capital on our capacity expansion. This has enabled us to generate healthy free cash flow during the year. Accordingly, in line with our dividend policy, the board of directors has recommended a dividend of rupees 0.70 per share. Coming to our capacity expansion plan, during the year, we expected our annual production capacity to over 1 million cylinders on the back of our brownfield expansion in India. The second phase is also on track to be commissioned by second quarter FY23. This will add about 1 lakh cylinder capacity and should assist us to drive further growth in this year. In addition to our greenfield expansion in Mundra is progressing well, and we remain on track on commissioning the facility by FY24. The initial phase of this project will increase our production by 2 lakhs annually. To conclude, India has made a structural shift towards building a cleaner gas-based economy with a huge thrust on developing the CNG infrastructure. In addition, Indian government recently announced its national green hydrogen policy with the goal of meeting climate change and making India a green hydrogen hub. As per our studies, India hydrogen demand is expected to increase 5-fold to 28 metric tons by 2050 to 6 million metric tons by 2020. Overall, this showcases over the next few years, the decades, the use for gas across industries, including transportation, only going to accelerate. This would be a huge opportunity to the entire gas and cylinder industry. And given EKC leadership position, we believe we are well positioned to tap the opportunity and create substantial value for stakeholders in the future. On that note, I come to an end to my opening remarks and would request the moderator to open the forum and any operational and strategic-led questions that you would have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give so fantastic result in this year and quarter. So my question is, what is our order book at present and from which sector we are having these orders?
So I think the order book is quite strong, and mainly CNG is the segment where the order book is coming from.
Okay. Can you give in numbers? How much order position we are having?
Maybe about 350 to 400 crores.
350 to 400 crores. And how much more volume we produce? What is capacity utilization on quarter four?
Utilization, I think, should be around 90%.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And our ROC will be same in current year also?
Improving. Yeah, it should improve, I think.
Oh, it will improve, sir.
And
sure. Sir, US and UAE is not giving so much margin in compared to India. Why we are expanding there and want to continue the project?
See, definitely there is this year has been quite good compared to previous years in US and UAE. And going forward, we are behind COVID. So I think COVID is behind us, sorry. And I think we should be, the performances should be much stronger going forward. And there is a growth in the international market for CNG is also growing quite fast as, CNG becomes more and more popular around the world with crude fuel prices going up, plus green fuel as a large push from all over the world. So I think this is a right time for us to, look at these opportunities which are coming up. And I think, it should be quite fruitful in the coming years, these expansions that we are planning to do.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Sean from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you throw some light on any guidance for FY23 in terms of sales growth?
It's there in the opening remarks. I think we've already given some.
I missed it, I think.
Okay. I think, So you want guidance on what? On the volume or what are you looking for?
So volume would be more helpful.
Volume, okay. So as you said, we have a 10 to 15%.
Okay, and in terms of margin, will sustain the current levels, or are we looking at?
I think like 20 to 24% is the something that you know, we believe that this is something that is achievable and doable and sustainable.
Yeah. So, and so on product mix, how do you see that going forward from here?
So I think it should be around maybe 60-40. Maybe CNG will become 60% because CNG seems to be growing quite well, and industrial will be around 40%.
And sir, I believe on CNG we have higher margins, right?
I think the margins are quite similar, or maybe CNG a little bit higher, but margins, you know, industrial also are quite decent.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline Portfolio Management Service. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you.
So firstly, on the one side, we are seeing these CNG prices are going up, and on the other side, oil prices are expected to come down further. So the spread is continuously narrowing. So do we foresee the CNG conversions getting impacted during short to medium term?
Yeah, I think, see, now what's happening is that, you know, with more and more infrastructure growing, you know, definitely people are realizing that this is a fuel that is, you know, it works, and it's giving benefits to the customer and the environment. So I think you're going to see more and more, you know, push towards CNG. So I don't think there should be any, you know, growth should continue. I don't see any issue with growth, you know, with CNG.
Okay. So what is the kind of price gap between now CNG and petrol? And
petrol is much higher.
Beyond what level do you see if this gap continues to narrow? At what level of spread will get impacted? CNG conversions will get impacted.
See, even if the gap narrows or whatever happens, you know, this business is completely dependent on infrastructure. As long as infrastructure keeps on growing, the customer base will also continue to grow with it. So even if the gap is narrow, it all depends, you know, really, because, you know, the policy of the government to promote green fuels. So this is the best way to do it. So definitely there is a 25-30%. Gap between CNG and diesel that's still encouraging people to convert. You know, the benefit is still there. It's a better economic to run on CNG, and plus, you know, the infrastructure is getting built every day. So I think there's definitely you know, it's quite encouraging for people to continue to. So you can say this is going to be something that, you know, CNG is going to be a business that's going to be there for a long time, you know, as long as infrastructure is available. So, you know, it's going to become like any other fuel, that, you know, you go to fill a diesel vehicle or petrol vehicle, people are going to start filling CNG vehicles. So I think it is going to be something that's, you know, going to be there now.
Okay. And lastly, so in passenger vehicle, we understand that customer can switch between CNG and this gasoline oil. But so the similar kind of provision available for even these ICVs or LCV vehicles?
No. They are completely dedicated.
Okay, so if it is a CNG vehicle, it will be purely on CNG?
Yes, only CNG.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, firstly, on the realization front. So what sort of price hike we would have taken over the last 1 year for our products on an average?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but definitely, you know, whenever the steel prices are going up, we're definitely approaching the customer. Now, I don't know how many times, you know, in the year the price have gone up of steel. So I don't have those numbers with me.
A total quantum, like, will it be in the range of 5 to 10% ASP increase? Or,
you know, it's very difficult to give any numbers. You know, we will really have to. I'll have to go into the details to see where, you know, how the steel prices have behaved in the, you know, over the year, and then But definitely, you know, steel prices have been going up, and sometimes, you know, sometimes they're stable, and you know, sometimes they're going up. So there's a, it's very difficult to kind of give you a, you know, percentage that what has happened. Okay. But we do have those studies. I mean, we could I could dig it out and give it to you on offline maybe sometime if we have a discussion.
Sure, understood. And regarding the volume growth that you mentioned about 10 to 15%, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are already at maybe 90% capacity utilization,
correct,
right, in the
correct,
fourth quarter,
correct,
and I think
yeah.
expansion is coming only in the second half of correct. About 1 lakh. That is about 10% capacity increase.
Correct.
So
correct.
So basically only maybe 50,000 will be available in FY23. So
correct.
Incremental
exactly.
volume. So what will drive the incremental volume? Either our capacity utilization has to go back to 100% for the existing facility in FY23. Right.
So, you know, what will happen is definitely, you know, wherever the opportunity of higher value products will be the one that will be focused once this capacity comes online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Money or Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello.
Yes, yes.
My question is on: is there a threat from CNG cylinders being imported because after
sorry.
The COVID? Is there a threat of CNG cylinders
sorry
being imported?
Sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking. I request you to come in a better reception area.
Hello.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Is there a threat of CNG cylinders getting imported?
The CNG cylinder might be imported, but you know, again, nothing comes cheap nowadays.
Okay.
You know,
but,
so it's yeah.
Imported CNG cylinders are supposed to be 20% cheaper?
No, they're not cheaper than, you know, what we are selling. You know, we are still, if we are selling against imported cylinder, definitely our product is preferred by the customer.
Okay, by the way. So we are getting a better margin than the imported cylinders?
So we are getting a better margin. Plus, you know, what happens is the customer also, you know, like suppose an OEM and Anvil, they would just, you know, prefer to buy a product locally.
Okay.
Because, you know, lots of different capacity sizes, lots of storage needs to be done, you know, just in time. So this is definitely a preference that the customer doesn't need to, you know, I mean, an OEM wouldn't like to import and, you know, wait. You know, if the product is available locally, yes, definitely there might be some gaps that might be filled in by imports. But, you know, but on a long-term basis, definitely the local production will be, you know, be the one that becomes preferential for the customer.
Caskets also can't be imported, no? Caskets
are totally, you know, it becomes uneconomical to import those things.
Uneconomical.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on good numbers, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
My question relate to two things. One, if you can talk about your JV with JV in Egypt, if you can give more detail about that. And what about the status of Hungary expansion which you are getting?
So, you know, the JV in Hungary, so first thing is that, you know, because of the current situation in Russia, you know, we are just waiting and watching the situation to improve.
So, the project execution is been halted for some time?
We just delayed it for some time, you know, till this Russian situation doesn't become clear. So we don't want to, you know, do anything unless, you know, because again, Hungary is also a country that will depend on Russia for many things like gas and other things. So we want to, you know, let the situation become a little more clarity till the time, you know, we start, you know, going ahead and making the large investment there.
So have you done any investment over there or no?
Not yet.
And about JV in Egypt?
So Egypt, you know, what is happening in Egypt is Dubai is, you know, selling a lot of cylinders to Egypt today. And Egypt CNG business is growing very, very fast. And, you know, we are not able to cater this business from Dubai. And we feel that we need to have this manufacturing facilities in Egypt to cater to this large growing market. So I think that is the update we have, you know, at this moment. And
still working on.
Yeah, so you know more the details. So this is very recent development that has happened. So you know we are just at JV signing stage right now. So JV signing stage. Then you know the feasibility study will be done more in detail. Then we will, you know. So it's a period where I think another 2 years where we can see the project.
In place.
Yeah, 2 years.
Right. Or?
Yes.
Yeah. And sir, third question regarding how you see competition coming up from these composite cylinders which are now.
So, you know, composite cylinders are definitely a complementary product to the industry. They are actually being catered to a segment that we are not in that segment. So it is not really a competition. Steel cylinders are catering to a different segment and composite cylinders are catering to a different segment. So it's really, they don't compete with each other as such, you know, they are not competing with each other. They are filling a gap which is there in the market for a specific need for gas transportation, you know, but steel cylinders still, you know, contribute to 95% of or maybe 98% of the CNG cylinders sold globally and in India also.
Okay. And so last question relating to US operation. If I see your segmental result, US again has dipped into these losses. So is there any one-off in that or how you expect this business to move forward from here?
Year-end provision.
So there's been some year-end provision, but definitely, you know, like COVID is behind us. So, you know, definitely now, you know, the business, US business should pick up. It's mainly, you know, a lot of business that comes from defense and other things were delayed, but there has been definitely a pickup and you'll see it. You will see the improvement will be there going forward.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj M, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Puneet Sanjeev. Congratulations on steady and inspiring results.
Thanks. Thank you. How are you doing?
Questions. Very well. Thank you. Couple of questions from my end, Puneet Sanjeev. You know, in the last one or two quarters, we've seen compression in gross margins or contribution margins and EBITDA margins. So that's been dilutive to the overall FY22. I think a couple of quarters ago, you mentioned that, you know, there's a lag in passing on RM price increases to the clients. And also, you all were looking to take price increases generally across some of your older clients. So has that already happened in Q3 and Q4? And can we expect margins to sort of trough out in the what we've seen in Q4 and hopefully start improving from Q1, Q2 onwards?
Virat, the gross margins you're saying, right? The gross margins seem to be consistent, right? There's no...
No, actually, it's come down. Gross and EBITDA margins have come down slightly in Q3 and Q4.
Okay. Huh? They have? Okay.
So my simple question is, have we now passed on the RM price increases and are we taking price increases which will start reflecting in improved profitability starting Q1?
Definitely, you know, their price increases have been forwarded, you know, on a continuous basis. So I think we'll definitely see, you know, that the prices get, you know, we get the prices, the new prices from the customers.
That means if we've already taken price increases, then the RM increase is greater than the price increase we've taken because it's been dilutive on margins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not quite getting that, but maybe I can follow up separately with Sanjeev on that. Secondly, I think Sanjeev, it would be really helpful to see somewhere on the deck, you know, contribution margin per ton. Because, you know, with this noise in passing on of RM at the revenue level and inflation at the, you know, the COGS level, it's hard to see and compare quarter on quarter or year on year. I think contribution margin per ton would be a great metric if we could reflect it somewhere in the deck.
Yeah, we'll see that, yeah.
Yeah. My next question is, you know, I'm glad you touched upon the hydrogen opportunity, Puneet. But, you know, can you give us a sense, so CNG is here to stay for most of this decade by the sounds of it, right? With the build-out in infra, petrol pumps, switch from diesel to CNG. I mean, does hydrogen eat away at your market?
See, cylinders will definitely be a very integral part of the hydrogen story.
Right.
And there will be some changes in the products that we are doing today, and we are looking at that, you know, that, but again, hydrogen is just, you know, it's going to take some more time, because as the regulations come in and, you know, the real infrastructure comes in, it will take some time, because, you know, the stakeholders all need to come together, and regulatory framework, so it takes some time, but we're definitely, you know, actually looking forward for this to happen, because there will be a lot of places that we'll be playing a role, you know, for hydrogen transportation, you know, that we are already doing for industry, and of course for transportation, for hydrogen stations also we'll be doing. So definitely we are looking for this opportunity. I think this is something that we are looking forward for it to come as soon as possible.
So you're effectively, what you're saying is CNG is an opportunity for many years to come. Even if hydrogen comes, it's an opportunity for you.
You know, because cylinders will be required.
Not a loss of market for you.
So, you know, in fact, it will become, you know, even a larger opportunity, because you've got CNG and you've got hydrogen. So, you know, if there are vehicles that are getting converted on CNG or, you know, OEMs, and then there'll be even vehicles getting converted on hydrogen. So, you know, there's going to be more cylinder required in both the places, because, you know, gas needs to be stored.
You have the technology or the capability for hydrogen?
We have the capability. Yes, we do. We have the capability, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And my last question is a question I ask every quarter. Now your net debt is down to, you know where I'm coming from, 110 odd crores with the prudent financial management of Sanjeev. Why won't you do a buyback? I mean, you know, you're a 30 plus percent ROCE business. You're trading at 7.5 times PE, cheap by any standards. I mean, yes, operations and, you know, squeezing out efficiency in operations is important, but the best companies out there, financial prudent management is equally important, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think, you know, think of it, investing your money and buying your share and like putting new capex in the ground. The ROI on your investment couple of years out is going to be fantastic. So why won't you do a buyback?
Yeah, definitely. We are exploring all these. You know, we're exploring all these things. You know, we are continuously in touch with the board, and who they feel that, you know, what, how, when this thing will be a right time to do these buyback and, you know, dividends and stuff like that. So we're definitely, that is on the, we are considering that. You know, like, you know, even the promoter's debt, you know, that has been something that we have brought down. You know, that was something that was, you know, didn't, investors didn't like that.
Fully repaid now?
It's almost, you know, almost 50% done, you know, and maybe 50% in the next, you know, next quarter or next two quarters. So I think, you know, this is something that we are taking that initiative, and definitely, I you know, the way it is going, the things, definitely dividends, buybacks will be something that the board will have to look at, I think, yeah, going forward.
Yeah, my only simple suggestion would be, Puneet, it's obviously most attractive to do your buyback in difficult market conditions where you get a deal, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, sure, you can do a buyback in the next year or two when you're completely debt-free, but then you're buying back at 300 rupees a share. You know, when you're trading at sub 200, that is the time really to push the button.
I'm sure Sanjeev
will make sure, you know, we're still within the norms of financial prudence in doing the buyback, but I would strongly encourage you to put this matter seriously in front of the board.
No. Definitely, you know, you mentioned it before, so we're definitely looking at it.
Super. All the very best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radhika Kabra from Alpha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank
you. I have two questions. First one being, as you said that we don't exist in the composite cylinder category. So don't we have revenue from cascade business of ours?
Yeah, we do. So cascade business, we do have revenue.
So how do we see composite cylinders as a competition in that particular segment? Because as we understand, the carrying capacity is almost double.
So you know what happens is that, you know, see, that's why the the growth of the composite cylinders are only in a segment where the gas transportation is required over a distance. You know, so over a distance, definitely composite cylinders are making more economical sense. Cascades are, you know, are like on the stations and short distances. You know, definitely steel cascades are making a lot more sense. So, so that kind of segment is just something that is, you know, is coming up. You know, so we don't see, because our segment is also, you know, as more and more stations grow, the more and more steel cascades will be required on every station, because there is no point of putting a composites cascade on a station. Composites is only as a market for transportation over a long distance. So as the pipelines, as the infrastructure grows, the requirement for composite cascades will keep coming down, because, you know, you're connected everywhere and the distance of the travel is getting reduced. So definitely so we don't feel that our cascade business will get any kind of competition from the composite market, the composite cylinder cascades. Definitely there is a market, but it's quite small compared to the kind of cascades market that steel cylinder cascades have.
Okay, got it. So what percentage of our revenue basically comes from the cascade business of ours?
I think maybe 10 to 12%, maybe, or I don't have the figures exactly. Yeah, could be that, yeah.
Okay. Another question being, what specific reason can we come down to for the degrowth that we saw in our UAE subsidiary?
Sorry, what? I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
What probably are the reasons why are we seeing some reduction in sales in our UAE subsidiary, like the Dubai plant? Has there any volume degrowth or any of that sort happening?
The requirements for the,
you know, there has been some changes in the customer's requirement, in the sense the purchase requirement of the customer has changed. So there has been some delays of material leaving the plant. So that's the reason why we saw a little bit of a dip. But I don't see that should not be an issue going forward.
Okay. And how do we see what is happening at our US subsidiary? Are we seeing any demand coming in, any order book?
Yeah. See, the order book is very strong. Only thing is, you know, because the US is a project-based business, so there'll always be a huge order book, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 million dollar order book is available. But only thing is that these orders should be executed on time, because, you know, again, we are selling, suppose you are selling, you know, cylinders in a ship. So, you know, if the ship project is delayed, you get delayed because you're a very small part of a very big project. So, you know, that's what's been happening in the US business, that lots of projects that were going to happen have been delayed. So, order book is there, but delays. So, this is the reason why, you know, we're not able to, you know, the business is not able to come back to its original, you know, position. But it's a matter of time, you know, where things will become quite normal and we should see the business will grow more, more systematically and, you know, similar kind of quarters every month. Every quarter will be the similar kind of growth.
Got it. Also, one last question. Can you give us the sales volume for full year and quarter four?
Sales volume for the full year.
You mean the numbers? The content?
Yeah.
The cylinder numbers, or you want the...
Cylinder numbers.
So that we will not be able to share.
All right. No problem.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek from GS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, you can hear you.
First of all, congratulations for another set of good performance and coming back to margins in the new operation. Keep up the good work, sir. And my question is regarding any new customers we have added, and Maruti is the biggest customer for CNG, and I believe the waiting list for CNG vehicles is quite long, especially in the car. Is the situation same for the commercial vehicles also? Waiting list for CNG fitted CV cylinder is small, LCV is also quite large, and do we have the full pricing power over here in the commercial vehicles, sir? This is a big demand.
Definitely, you know, we I don't know, I can't say we have a, you know, power of pricing to the customer, but you know, definitely we work with the customer as a partner, you know, and so the pricing is done in a very fair manner, and you know, we try to you know, give the product to the customer as, you know, as good quality and, you know, as we can, and of course the business is growing very fast, and you know, we would like to, you know, be here with the customer on a long term basis, so you know, nothing that we would like to, you know, do this kind of pricing, you know, this kind of strategy where we, you know, can price up a product in such a way that, you know, we look like, you know, kind of dictating the situation.
Okay. And but sir,
volumes are growing, you know, all segments, you know, the CV segments everywhere, you know, there is a, there's definitely, we are going to continue to see this growth on CNG.
Maruti, are you interacting with them? Because they are the biggest player in the car.
So we do not sell anything to Maruti now.
Mm-hmm. Already your demand is being met from the other people.
Yes, of course. You know, we are selling to other customers.
Mm-hmm. Now, second thing is, sir, this basically, any progress on that indigenous raw material procurement from Maharashtra Seamless, or still that Chinese import works out to be
better? You know, we have made some headway. We are, you know, progress. We have made a lot of progress to localize the raw material. I think we have purchased some raw material also from Maharashtra Seamless. So we are making headway there. Yes, definitely there is a good progress there.
And basically, I was reading somewhere that somewhere the indigenous gas production in India is nearly 70% post the production of Reliance KG Basin gas and coal bed methane, and hopefully with ONGC KG Basin also coming into the production soon. And there is one more opportunity because the LNG import prices have become very high.
Yes.
And the oil marketing companies are not increasing. They have frozen the price of diesel petrol for a long time, but whereas the CNG is being increased on a daily basis, sir.
Correct.
How the, you know, that price differential and sort of unit economics becoming weaker. And the one more thing was about the, I personally experienced this compressed biogas initiative in Western UP side. So I was pleasantly surprised by it that the compressed biogas is being made from the mud of the sugar mill. The technology is being supplied by Praj Industries. And the CBG, any idea you're having compressed biogas, how effective it can be and how useful? Hydrogen also. So this is the any idea you can give on the opportunity size for CBG and
biogas. See, biogas definitely it is going to add to the, you know, the growth of CNG.
Correct.
You know, so as many biogas plants come up, but you know, this is a biogas also, you know, it's a slow process, and you know, for biogas also to produce CNG is, you know, is being developed, but it is not being developed at that pace. You know, it is because investments are required, and you know, a lot of processes required for cleaning natural gas. You know, natural gas coming out of biogas directly cannot be used for CNG. It needs to be cleaned. There are a lot of processes that need to be done before you can use it. So it's happening, but it's happening at a slow pace, not at a very fast pace.
Okay, but that scope is there. And what about the indigenous gas production, sir? Because that is also now becoming very important.
See, indigenous gas production is something that the government is continuously trying to grow. Because, you know, I mean, today we are importing a large quantity of LNG and, you know, natural gas, whatever, wherever these resources are available. Definitely government is, you know, trying to tap more and more, making larger investments now in gas. So that, you know, that is an initiative that is always on a continuous basis, you know, that all the gas companies are doing.
Okay, sir. And because that is, the 70% figure, is it correct, sir, for the indigenous gas production? Because if that is the case, then we are in a comfortable situation versus the LNG prices, which are increasing drastically. And at least the indigenous gas production prices doesn't increase in that severe manner.
Yeah, you know, but I think all gas companies want to make money. So they probably price their product even domestic price at international prices, you know. So.
But then, yeah, domestic is still much cheaper than the international prices.
Yeah. But again, these are, you know, these are products that are anyway, you know, priced at international level. You know, and again, these are government policy matters. So again, you know, we don't have much control or say in these matters when it comes to pricing of the gas.
So one more thing, last thing which I wanted to ask, this might not concern you directly, but see, ours is one of the best performing companies, small cap, quality small cap companies, wherein we are the leader of the segment, and the segment itself is growing very fast of CNG cylinders and the entire ecosystem is there. But unfortunately, due in very, very little institutional interest is there, no research report is coming in. And secondly, that this 5% limit is a very big irritant. Actually, lot of short-term players, traders get into it, manipulate it to their whims and fancies. That something can be at least made a representation to the required authorities that this is sort of playing havoc with the long-term investors, leave aside, but other people who are simply not touching our script at all, sir. So, yeah, not necessarily directly, but at least some action can be taken, sir.
No, we will definitely write to the exchange to, you know, on this 5% barrier and see if they are, what is the reason why this has been happening.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
That will be really useful, sir. And any analyst meet and research report, you please do let us know as already required by SEBI and exchanges now. Because one of the best performance is coming in at very attractive price potential is there, but some of the price discovery is not happening, sir. Keep
right.
up the good work, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you.
This 10 to 15% volume growth you mentioned as a guidance. Is it only for the domestic side you are saying?
Yes.
Okay, and you will also focus on higher realization products. So can we safely say the revenue growth can be higher than 15%?
Yeah, yes, yes.
And sir, and then UAE and US also, you are expecting good growth overall. So means at console level, the overall growth should be much stronger.
Yes, of course. Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, out of this 35 crore brownfield capex, how much is spent as of now?
Spent. All spent.
All is spent. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon and congrats for a good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
So my first question was regarding Dubai.
Yeah.
So what is the peak revenue we can do, or if you can tell us what was the utilization in FY22 in terms of the facility?
So Dubai, I think peak revenue is 250 is what we can do. And what has been the peak revenue? You're saying the utilization.
I'm saying what was utilization in FY22, or else if you can tell us what is the best revenue when we put it full capacity, can we do from the YouTube?
250 has been the best revenue, or 220?
Which is what we already done in FY22, right? 240 crores.
We've done 240, yeah, this year? Yeah,
it should be 240.
Yeah. So we only...
Does it mean that the Dubai operations will not see any further growth from here unless we add capacity? Because you said that we are...
So maximum we can, I think there is still some room of say 20% from here.
20. Okay. So second question was on US. You mentioned that order book is strong, but the numbers are getting impacted because of offtake. But yeah. When we see the quarterly numbers, you know, last four quarters, your revenues are in the range of 50 crores, but your profits are very volatile. Q1, you did a profit of 14 crores, then became 2 crores, and then this quarter, there's a loss of 7 crores. So while the revenue has remained the same, the profits just keep swinging from one end to another, and hence becomes very difficult to get a hang and, you know, also get confidence on this turnaround or maybe the growth on the US business. Can you comment on that?
See, in this, the numbers actually, they vary because, you know, it's project-based. You know, maybe in some project we have higher margins, in some project we have lower. So whatever finally gets supplied, that's the value which will come into play.
So how should we look at the margin of US going by the current
averages? I mean, averages, obviously, you know, it is there. If you look at the average, we are doing quite well. And future also, we believe that they will do better than this.
So if you see the last 10 years, sir, the best we have done is 180 crores of revenue and 5-6% EBITDA margin in US. That is the best we have done in last 10 years, including the current year. So do you think that we can further improve, or, you know, last 10 years this has been the ceiling, so we somewhere stagnated?
I mean, see, the borrowings have reduced substantially, so there will be a substantial saving on the interest cost. So obviously, they will do better.
We are talking of, sir, I'm talking of EBITDA before interest.
Oh, before interest?
It has been in the range of 5 to 6%.
Before interest, they are averaging on this basis only.
You expect any improvement?
If they have a higher volume growth, they will have better EBITDA.
Okay, okay. My next question was, sir, on the India operations, can you give us a sense on the CNG side, what was the breakup between passenger and cargo?
Sorry?
Passenger and cargo.
I think passenger should be much more.
But, you know, from whatever...
The commercial segment will be larger. Maybe 60-65%, maybe commercial.
And how was this ratio 2-3 years back? It was because from what we are hearing from the OEM commentary, they were indicating that
it's been the same. You know, commercial has always been much stronger from our point, from our business.
Okay, because when you hear the commentary of the auto OEMs, they have been indicating that cargo is seeing significant growth in terms of CNG pickup, and that's the
right.
But you are witnessing similar growth both in passenger and cargo. No major difference.
No, cargo is growing much faster and is going to grow much faster also for us. For our business, commercial segment, passenger is still, like I said, about 35%.
Sure. And a couple of quarters back, you had indicated that you were in some talks with Maruti and you could see some progress or success. But in one of the previous questions, you mentioned that as of now, you are not looking at any major business. So is it that because... we are running short of capacity and hence we are not chasing Maruti, or is it that we did not have major progress and hence as of now we have dropped?
See, these projects take a long time, you know, so discussions go on, but, you know, there is no, till we don't have a clear, a SOP or something given from them, till then we cannot give a clear idea that what, you know, when we will be able to start supplying. So discussions go on, but we don't have a SOP in hand to supply to them at the moment.
Sure. And my last question is on the capital allocation and the buyback, and that was raised to this participant. Sir, one of the reasons, you know, that comes across in discussions for our low valuation is that now that we are almost debt-free, but there's no clear, guidance from the company that, you know, maybe in the next year, this year when we become completely debt-free, in the next 3-4 years, what is going to be the capital allocation policy? In the sense, once we become debt-free, will we do buyback and dividend, or will we continue to keep cash, or will we continue to just invest in capex? I think if you can come out with that proper policy, you know, in the next 3-4 years, what is going to be our capital allocation?
You see, as we also continue to get some clarity on our expansion, clarity on the cash flow, we are here to reward the shareholders at the end of the day, you know, and everybody, you know, the board and, the management, everybody thinks the same way. So I think definitely there is, if there is cash available, definitely there will be, ideas to give out to the shareholders, reward the shareholders.
My humble suggestion would be, if you can give a very, without any very specific number per se, but if you can give some broader guideline to investors and shareholders, how do you plan to use the cash in the next 3-4 years, I think that would be very helpful.
I think it's a good idea. We'll definitely, if you're allowed to do it, we'll definitely try to do that.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Palke, Alpha Invesco Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Sir,
would like to have some idea on the capacities at present. So, as I understand, after this debottlenecking or brownfield expansion, our capacity has gone to 10 lakh cylinders. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what was the utilization for the full year?
90%.
Last year. So roughly, let's say 9 lakh cylinders, can that be the sales volume for the year?
I don't have the numbers with me here, but yeah, definitely it's,
Okay. Because in our annual report, we do disclose our standalone and consolidated production and sales volume. So I was just wondering if I can get the sales volume number for this year or quarter four.
I don't have them here, but definitely, you know, we will, if they're being disclosed, then we're definitely going to give it to you.
Okay, okay. And the remaining capacity expansion, post which we will go to 1.4 billion cylinders, that will get completed by Q2, Q3 of FY24. So another 1.5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. And sir, I think compared to 2-3 years back, our working capital days have improved substantially.
Right.
Currently, we stand somewhere close to, let's say, 170 odd days. So can we expect some further improvement on this front and some more capital getting released via better working capital management?
Yeah, sure. You know, but as we run a business, you know, it's a little different, you know, to kind of, you know, time everything. But definitely we are working on all aspects to improve all, you know, purchase locally, you know, get better terms from suppliers, better delivery periods, you know. But there's a lot of uncertainty in the environment as per supplies and disruption due to imports. So, you know, sometimes things do get a little disturbed, you know, but definitely this is something that we have done in the past and we continue to focus on.
Okay, so is it fair to assume that you won't be crossing 180 days of working capital days going forward? I mean, it will remain this range?
No, we should not be.
Okay, okay. And just one last question, sir. I mean, on 5-4 cylinders, one of our competitors was talking about a payback of 6 to 7 months because the carrying capacity is double. As you were rightly pointing out, it is not just the cascade opportunity is only for the transportation.
Right.
Argument that is being made is just on the lines of, or just because of the carrying capacity being double,
right. That
is much faster. That is one. And second, recently some of our competitors have also got a piece of approval for the onboard cylinders.
Correct.
They might get into trucks and CNG buses segment as well. And they are trying to announce some CAPEX on that
Competition.
So how do you see this landscape?
The competition has approval. You know, it's not that, you know, they don't have approvals. So people have had approvals in the past also, you know. So it's not that they don't have approval. Again, you know, coming back to the Type 4, like I said, Type 4 segment is mainly for gas transportation. But suppose you want to just keep the cascade on the station, which is not going to get transported. You know, so that is not, it's not economical to have a very expensive product on the station which is not going to move. So definitely it is very good to have, you know, where you said 6 to 7 months of payback is only when you are transporting gas over a big distance. But when you are storing them on the, when you are storing them in a specific space on the station, and when the distance is, like suppose all the cascades probably transporting within Mumbai, you know, they would not be on a composite because it doesn't make any sense because the distances are very short. You know, or you go to a smaller city, you know, in small cities again the transportation becomes less and everything becomes less. So there again, they become uneconomical. But they become economical in an area where the stations are very far away. But you know, as the network goes on growing, see, every day in India, the network of pipelines are growing very, very fast. You know, so this kind of requirements will definitely.
Puneet. No, I'm saying what if the carrying capacity is double? Even then, it doesn't make a difference, even if it's an expensive equipment.
No. It doesn't make. Yes, it doesn't, because you know the customer is benefited by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the obviously, like I said, if you're traveling over a distance, instead of carrying two trucks, you're carrying one truck. Definitely, it is an advantage to the customer.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Just one last question. Any comments on our dividend payout policy going forward? I know you have made a couple of references regarding our capital allocation going forward.
Yeah.
But still, with respect to dividend, it is only 3% of PAT at this point of time. Can you see the percentage of
20%? I will definitely convey to the board about your comments. You know, on this, definitely. You know, I think. See, it's moving in a positive direction. You know, I think it's better than what we did previously, and hopefully if, you know, things become like this, we continue to be more more positive on the dividend front.
So the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next question. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. So my question is regarding our Kandla plant location. Have we used this facility for export purpose, or is this any specific advantage of this location?
We have a facility. We are using it. You know, I mean, advantage. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. We have the plant there. We are, you know, and near the port. See, the advantage for the location, it is near the port. You know, all the raw materials are being imported, so definitely being near the port helps.
Okay. There is no export from this plant.
Yeah, we do export something. We do export.
Okay. But not material, no?
Not material? Sorry?
What's the percentage of export?
No, I think
this plant...
Very less. 10%. Yeah, it's very, very less right now. But, you know, because the domestic market is growing so fast, we do not have the capacity allocated for export, because domestic, you know, market has been growing. And you have known, you know, in the last 2 years, you know, because of COVID also, lots of the cylinders manufactured were for medical oxygen requirements. So, you know, the capacity had to be dedicated as per the government also, that all this capacity to be dedicated for supply in India only. Am I audible? Can you hear me? Hello?
So my next question is regarding our net current asset. Currently it is at 603 crore. So it is, this is a new normal inventory, current asset level, or we have any target to reduce it?
Definitely, you know, this will get consumed in the period, yeah.
And there is any specific target regarding the current asset level?
Yeah, I think it's
the optimum,
yeah,
levels they have. We are actually quite good in the current scenario too. If you compare the figures, I mean, they are all lower as in view of the turnover.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you once again for your interest and support. We will continue to stay engaged. Please be in touch with our investor relation team, CDR India, for any further details or discussion. Look forward to interacting with you soon. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Everest Kanto Cylinder Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.